Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of our Trade Deadline Show here at the Hockey Writers. I'm your host, Matthew Zator, and as always, we've had some preview shows with these guys already, but Eugene, Alex, and Jacob, guys, for some reason, it seems like it's March 8th already, because lots of trades went down today as we were talking about when's trade deadline going to start? But lots of stuff happened today. How's it going?
It's good. Going
It's
well.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Definitely been a crazy day, and it's probably just going to get crazier from here on out.
It has been an insane last few hours. And of course, I was not at my computer all day. So I came off work and looked at my phone and I saw a bunch of stuff. And I'm like, oh, okay, stuff happened today. But yeah, lots of stuff. So let's start with, I believe it was the first one that went down. It was either the Sean Walker one or the Tarasenko one. It was one of those. But we'll start with the Vladimir Tarasenko trade. I know, Jacob, we just dropped an episode of Senators Roundtable talking about Tarasenko. And it happened. He was traded to the Florida Panthers for a conditional 2024 fourth round pick and a 2025 third round pick. Also, the Senators retained 50% of his salary in that trade. What do you think about that trade? I know you guys were talking about the return. It's not the best. What do you think about Tarasenko going to Florida?
Well, so last night when we were doing the Senators Roundtable episode, we were overzealous about what the return would be compared to what it is. But what we didn't know is that he said, I want to go to Florida. He has a full no-trade clause. And Elliot Friedman has come out since and said that Vladimir Tarasenko told Ottawa that he wants to go to Florida. And Florida knew that, so they're not going to offer up the sun and the moon for him. He's not going to stick around in Ottawa for 20 games. It was reported today that he was not going to re-sign. So you got to get something for him. Now that all of that information is out, I don't hate the return. At least you got something. Ottawa needs some picks and prospects. So it's hard to complain about. There are people that are very upset about it because people were hoping for a first round pick and whatnot. But you do have to account for the fact that he has a no trade clause. And Ottawa did the due diligence of reporting that no trade clause this time. So hopefully it's not going to come back and cost them a first round pick.
Right? They did it. They did it correctly this time. All right. Alex, what do you think about Tarasenko going to Florida? What does he bring to the Panthers? They are the first place team in the NHL right now, the President's Trophy winners, I guess. While, you know, last season they barely made the playoffs, they are the top team. What does Tarasenko bring to this lineup?
Yeah, so I mean, their offense was already pretty terrifying as is, and now they're just adding another pretty good score. Tarasenko is not the player that he used to be, but he's still on pace for, I think, like 59 points and 22 goals or something like that this season. He's still got a ton of offensive value. The only thing is he gives a lot back defensively. His defensive game is just kind of non-existent at this point, but he's still a good offensive player. And I think with the lineup that they have now, they can probably keep him, you know, somewhere in the middle six. I think Sam Bennett and Matthew Tkachuk, that's probably a good place to slot him in right there on the left side. And, you know, he'll help on the power play too. They already have so much firepower up there with Tkachuk and Sam Reinhardt having the season they have, and they're already so good. I think they just got even better today, and they were my pick to win the Eastern Conference now, even before the Tarasenko trade, and acquiring him, I think that just kind of solidifies that.
Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, Tarasenko, like you say, he's not the goal scorer he once was. He's having a decent season in Ottawa. And now he's going to go into a lineup that it is really high powered, and he could just complement that. Yeah, great trade for Florida. They're better. I don't know how much better, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see how Tarasenko fits in there. Right, Eugene, let's move to the next trade on this, and that's Sean Walker, rumored to be traded. He was on our trade bait board. We talked about him. I wasn't sure if he was going to get moved because of where the Flyers are in the standings, but they did get someone in return for him. They got Ryan Johansson and a conditional 2025 first-round pick, also fifth-round pick going to Colorado as well in that trade. What about this trade? What does it bring to the Flyers? What does it bring to the Avalanche? I mean, Walker's having a pretty good season.
Yeah, this trade really shows how different the market is this year compared to previous seasons. So if you think about it, the Avalanche gave up a first round pick to get a top four defenseman and get $4 million off the cap off their books by trading Johansson as well. Because the Flyers didn't plan on keeping him, they put him on waivers. There's a good chance a bottom feeding team grabs him just to make cap. I'll get a team like the Blackhawks who still has a lot of injuries and could just use a warm body for the rest of the year. So I could see a team grabbing him, or worst case scenario, he goes to the AHL for them for a little bit and he could be a playoff call-up. But that wasn't a player that wasn't a positive value player for the in this trade. That was the Avalanche getting rid of him so they make another trade later, because they needed that salary. So you look at that and go, wow, they only got did all that for a first round pick a year or two ago. That would have been a first pick plus a third, maybe a fourth to get another team to broker it. So it really just shows that the values are very different right now. I think it's a great move by the Avalanche. Their defensive unit was already great. This puts a really solid defensive defenseman in their top four, potentially, or top six where they need to put him at. It reminds me a lot of the, I think it was Josh Manson 2 years ago when they got him at the trade deadline. He was a big part of that cup run. And looking at the Flyers, I see why they made this trade because for them, Sean Walker has found money. It was a part of a cap dump trade that they got as part of the deal for it was Cal Peterson from the Kings. I believe he was part of that deal. And he played well above what anyone would have expected him to. And they got a first round pick for him. And they still kept Nick Seeler. So they didn't get rid of both their defensemen that were on the board. They managed to keep one for a couple of years. Seeler's a great fit. Walker, had the similar things. And I think for both teams, it was kind of a win. But I think for the Avalanche, it's the kind of win that could put you another Stanley Cup if things go really well. Plus, part two of the trade.
For sure. I'll ask you, Jacob, but what does this do for the Flyers, though? Because does this signal that they may not? I mean, they are in that mix of the playoffs still. What does removing Walker to the from the lineup do for them? Does it make it less likely they'll make the playoffs? Or because that's a big defenseman getting removed from the lineup.
Yeah, I mean it lowers their playoff chances for sure, but I still think that they're in that pretender category, so it could make the playoffs. They're going to be a bubble team right around there. I don't think anybody's going to be surprised at this point in the season if they make the playoffs or if they miss it. Kind of a 50-50 toss up right now, but they are aware. Danny Briere, as the new general manager, is aware that this team is a pretender. They're not here to challenge for the Stanley Cup this year, and it made more sense to move on from Sean Walker than it did to keep him and try and pretend that you're going for the playoffs, like we see with Pittsburgh and Calgary, right? Like they're on the verge of the playoffs, and Philadelphia is just kind of saying, no, we are not ready for this. We might make the playoffs and get two or three games of revenue, and that's it. Like we're not here to make an impact. So let's get some assets. You never know what Ryan Johansson could do there in the tail end of the season. Obviously, they waived him. They don't have high expectations, but you never know. He might get a chance there. Him and John Tortorella do have a bit of a history. It was right after Tortorella got hired in Columbus that he said that Johansson is out of shape and benched him. So I don't know if that's some bad blood that'll stick around. I don't know. But I do think that it's pretty interesting that they put him on waivers right away just because I think he could have an impact as well.
I mean, he didn't do what the Avalanche thought he was going to when they signed him. He's been okay. He's had some spurts of good play, but he was supposed to be their second line center and didn't pan out as that at all. Now, it's a good segue. They have their second line center now. Alex, they made this deal, and these we don't see very often. One for one. This is probably the pure definition of a hockey trade. Casey Mittelstadt going to the Avalanche for Bowen Byram. For me, this came out of net left field, because I wasn't aware that Bowen Byram was on the trade block, that he was going to be traded. I may have heard some whispers on it, but not that it was going to be a sure thing. What does Casey Mittelstadt bring to the Avalanche? I mean, he's had a pretty good season. He's been, his potential is still pretty high. He's not an old player. He's still pretty young. What do you think about this one?
So I really like this trade for the Avalanche. I think he's a pretty clear upgrade on Johansson. He's not that much of a goal scorer, but if you look at his passing data and his playmaking, he's I think on pace for like 40 something assists. I think he already has 33 if I remember right. They really needed an upgrade in that position, and I think with some of the players that they'll surround him with, whether it's Val Nichushkin or Arturi Lehkonen, I think he'll do really well there. You know, like you said, he's like you said, he's young, so they probably can keep him around. He's a restricted free agent this summer. Maybe get something like the Dylan Strome contract. We'll see. But I think that was a really good move for them. I was quite shocked that they moved Bowen Byram to do it. Like you said, I didn't think he was on the trade block, but he has really struggled this season. So I think for the Sabres there, they're just hoping that they can get him to rebound a little bit. It's a high risk, high reward kind of deal for Buffalo. But I really like what Colorado did, because this, I think that was, I guess, aside from goaltending, finding a second line center was probably their biggest need heading into the trade deadline. And they addressed that while getting someone who should be under team control for a while. They didn't even get a rental. So pretty good work by them.
Yeah, they've been looking for that second line center since Nazem Kadri went, left there. And I'm not saying he's going to be that, but he's definitely a better option than what they've been using in the last couple seasons. And this could be the answer. Mittelstadt's a really good player. I think he's got a lot more, like I say, a lot more potential to do stuff. And he could be placed with some pretty talented players too. So yeah, really good move there. Jacob, I want to ask you about Bowen Byram, though. Going to Buffalo, where do you see his – I mean, they've got such a loaded left side. I mean, you know, Rasmus Dahlin, Owen Power, now Bowen Byram. Where does he fit in this lineup moving forward?
It's really tough. So I don't know what it is with the Atlantic Division, but they love left-handed defensemen. So you look at the way that Tampa Bay was set up. I see you nodding there, Eugene. They had the three-headed monster of – Hedman, Sergachev, and McDonough for a while, and that worked fantastic. You look at Toronto, they haven't had a good right-handed defenseman in forever. They have lefties that play on the right side, but they have not had a good right shot defenseman. Ottawa right now has Chychrun, Sanderson, Shabbat, and then Brännström, Klevin, and whatever. But I don't know what it is with the Atlantic and left-handed defensemen, but Buffalo is in the same path right now because they have Rasmus Dahlin. They have Owen Power. Now they have Bowen Byram. Those are like same makeup as, like I just mentioned, with Tampa Bay and Ottawa. It worked for Tampa Bay. It's not working anywhere else. It could work in Buffalo. I'm not going to say that it's not going to work. I don't know if somebody moves over to the right side. I don't know. I think that if Buffalo can get him consistent minutes, even if they just run 3 20-minute pairings or very close to that, I think they can have a really good balance. But are you really going to want to limit the minutes for Rasmus Dahlin and Owen Power? I don't think so. So I don't know. I don't know what to expect with Byram as the third best left-handed defenseman on a young, still rebuilding team. It made sense on Colorado because they were a contender. You can afford to kind of let your guys develop at the bottom of the roster. On a young team, you need to give opportunity.
Yeah, it's been mixed. I know we did a reaction video with Jacob Strozek on this, and he was saying that a lot of fans didn't like this trade. I thought it was a bad trade. I'm in the boat that I think Byram's a great defenseman. I think he's going to be a heck of a guy. He's only 22 years old, so that's a lot of potential still to come. I don't know. I'm with you. I don't know where he fits in Buffalo on that side, because they got two legitimate top pairing guys in Power and Dahlin. So yeah, Eugene, want to jump in there?
I guess out there, so someone who watched that era of the Lightning a lot, I'd say that the thing with having the three left-handed defensemen, they had to be truly special to work. So the reason why I worked for the Lightning is they had Hedman, who was a Norris candidate that entire time period. You had McDonough, who was a, like, you know, 5th to 10th range in the leading defenseman for most of his time tenure until the very end. And you had Sergachev, who was clearly going to be the next guy up. And he was so far above a third pairing defenseman, but he was still taking on, you know, 16 to 18 minutes a night. That 16 to 18 minutes a night, he was eating the other team alive, because he was playing against their third pair, their fourth line, their, you know, matchups. And he was so much better than what he was playing against. So anyone you put next to him, whether it was Kevin Shattenkirk, to Savard, Jan Ruda, Eric Chernak, no matter who you put next to those guys, they made their team, everyone around them, look so much better because they were just so far above the rest of the competition. So I'd say Buffalo now, they have potentially three of the best left side defensemen in the league in 2 years when they finish developing. 3 years. Byram could take on 17 minutes a night and look, you say, absolutely eat everyone alive in the 17 minutes a night. And Buffalo may be looking at it and going, well, we have our Hedman, we have our McDonough. Could this guy be our Sergachev? Now, the question is their team good enough to do that? I don't think so, because they're not the Lightning. The Lightning were a special team at that time period. But in 3 years, they might be if all these guys gel and find their groove when they're 25, 26 years old. But if you're a fan of Buffalo, you don't want to wait 3 more years. That's kind of the issue right now. It's that if it's Colorado, you can wait a year or two and have it work out, but you don't have that luxury right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I know Mittelstadt has been talked about as a trade piece, and well, they moved him, and you don't see one for one trades. You don't see them, and this is one. So, let's move to one that's not a one for one. This was a crazy one. It involved your team, Eugene, Tampa Bay Lightning. They didn't really get anything in return. They did get a conditional 2025 fourth rounder. They retained 25%. Of Adam Henrique's contract on this one. So the full deal, Adam Henrique, Sam Carrick, and the rights to Ty Taylor going to the Edmonton Oilers, and the Ducks giving up or getting a 2024 first round pick, a conditional 2025 fifth, and they also retain 50% of Henrique's contract. Lots of salary retention happening at this deadline because of the cap. What do you think about this trade? Now, the Edmonton Oilers have been quiet on the trade front until now, and getting a And Henrique, a center, winger, whatever you want to call him. What do you see this trade being? Does it improve the Oilers? What will Henrique do for the Oilers here?
So the Oilers are such an interesting team, right? Because you look at them, and either they're going to win the Stanley Cup or lose in the first round. Is there any in between for them this season?
No.
Yeah, probably not.
So I think we all agree with that. So a move like this, do we think that this is their player, that this is what they needed to round out their top six? Did they need to round out their top six? Because their top six is either the best in the league or they're ice cold. And I feel like that's another. There's been very little between us here.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where they play him, because I'm not sure. Like, I don't know. He definitely doesn't have the pace to keep up with Connor McDavid. So, like, I can't see him being a winger on Connor McDavid's line. Maybe they try to slot him in with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins on the second line, or maybe they try using him as a third line center instead. I think that'd probably be the best fit for him. I think you're looking maybe at more of like a middle six role with him, or for him with Edmonton. Just the thing is, like I wrote in my trade grades piece for it too, I would have liked Edmonton to have used their first round pick to get someone like Jake Gensel or Pavel Buchnevich.
Mm-hmm.
Buchnevich probably would have been a little more tricky because he has the extra year on his deal, and the Oilers cap situation, they're pretty tight on it right now. And I guess Henrique, based on the way he's been playing this season, is worth a first round pick. He's on pace for like 25 goals and 55 points or something like that. But I still would have liked to see them add a little bit of a more, I guess, more upside in their scoring department with someone like Gensel or Buchnevich, because I think that could have really put them over the top. I think Henrique will help. Is he going to help as much as someone like Gensel would have? Probably not.
Yeah, I'm not sure about this trade. I mean, Henrique is a good player. I don't know if he fits with the Oilers, what they need. And I think they need some defense. They need goaltending. Stuart Skinner's been really good lately, but is he going to be good in the playoffs? And that's the thing. Jacob, what do you think about this, all this trade? I mean, the Oilers, I mean, they're all in. I don't know if they're all in this season, but is Henrique the right move?
The way I look at it is, does adding Henrique and Carrick make this team better? And that is undoubtedly yes. That is 100% yes. Was it their biggest need? I don't know. They could use a defense. I disagree that they need a goalie. Stuart Skinner has a .920 save percentage since December. He's been one of the best goalies, and I don't think that they need a goalie right now. They certainly did. That's absolutely a conversation that's lingering. But whether they wanted to add forward depth, mostly at center with Adam Henrique, or add on defense, they still have room to add on defense. They don't need a top-end guy. They do have Evan Bouchard, Darnell Nurse, Matthias Ekholm. I wonder if Alexandre Carrier could be headed to Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
That's just somebody I look at that's not going to cost a lot, but could help solve the defensive problems. So, yes, this trade makes them better. No, it's not their biggest need, but it also, they didn't pay so much that they can't make any more deals. So I really like the deal for both sides.
Yeah, I mean, Sam Carrick is well, let's talk about Carrick for a sec here. I mean, Alex, what do you think? Does he move anything? I mean, he's been okay for the Ducks, or is he just going to throw in this trade?
I don't think he's just a throw-in, but I'm not really sure he like moves the needle too much for Edmonton either. I think you just kind of look at his stat line. It's 11 points and 137 hits this season, so I think they're just getting him to add a little physicality to the lineup. I think the real draw of it is getting Henrik, and I don't even know how much someone like Carrick will play in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. If he plays a fourth-line role, he's going to have limited ice time during games, I would think. So, but yeah, I think he's just kind of there to throw the body around and at, you know, just add a little more of a physical element. I don't really think there's much too much more to his game.
Mm. Yeah, I think he's just bottom six guy in and out of the lineup. Maybe a Klim Kostin type guy that they had last season. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what he does. Before we move on to the next trade, Eugene, I want to ask, why did the Lightning get involved in this? I mean, I never understand why teams get involved to do these salary retentions. What does it benefit them? Yes, they get it potentially. What's the condition on it? It's probably upgrades to a third round pick or something for some reason, but
I believe so. It's one of those silly conditions that they win the cup in 2 to 3 years or one of those things. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what I can say is Julie Breezeville, the Lightning's general manager, he loves fourth round draft picks. So 2 years ago when they traded for Brandon Hagel, they traded 2 firsts and they got Hagel and 2 fourth round draft picks for the Blackhawks. And almost every trade he does, he gets a fifth back, a fourth back, or a seventh back along with the first. He rarely trades out picks entirely outside of last year, the Tanner Janot trade, which is what made that trade so weird. So looking at this, I'm not surprised. He loves fourth round direct picks. Their scouting department is great. They have a lot of hits in the fourth and fifth round. If you look at their roster right now, a surprising amount of their defensemen were from like the fourth round and fifth round this season right now. So I'm not surprised. It's just weird that they're using their cap in this way. Yeah. Which makes me think they're not really looking to buy this year. They have very little assets. Their power prospect pool is basically Dylan Duke, Isaac Howard, and a few people that names that you may not recognize, or they're very European, so you haven't played in the U.S. yet, so we just don't have visibility on them in the same way. And that's about it right now. So it might be a situation where it's like, yeah, they wanted Noah Hanifin, but they couldn't afford him. They may have wanted, you know, Jacob Chychrun, but they couldn't afford him. So I think it's a situation where they might just be kind of saying, hey, this is our roster. Either Kucherov and Hedman are going to drag us to the finals kicking and screaming, or we're going to lose in the first round. And that might just be who they are this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. I mean, any picks, it seems like they hit on these late round guys. So may as well get as many as you can.
Why not?
To get involved, right? There you go. All right, the finals. Well, the final official trade with all the pieces. We'll talk about the Hanifin one in a sec. But Alexander Wennberg going to the New York Rangers for a second round pick in 2024 and conditional 2025 fourth round pick going to the Seattle Kraken. I'll ask you, Jacob, about this trade. What does this do for the Rangers? I know Hedl has been, because he's been hurt, they needed a replacement for him. What does Wennberg bring to the Rangers?
You said it exactly. He's a replacement for Filip Hedl. Hedl was a huge important part of this roster and really underrated. He was having a pretty good season before he got hurt. But Wennberg comes in, he's more defensive than offensive, of course. But that's kind of something that this New York Rangers team needs a little bit more of, is that defensive efforts down in the bottom six. So obviously they have some toughness there. They have some goal scoring up and down the lineup. But they really needed some defensive-minded players. And I wonder if he's going to line up with Kaapo Kakko and really make a really strong shutdown line. Because, again, like, Kakko is fantastic defensively. Wennberg slides in there well. And the Rangers didn't have to give up too much, a second and a fourth. So I think that it was a pretty successful trade for both sides. That's a little bit more than I expected Wennberg to go for. But, yeah, I think he's going to slide in really well in that third line.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. I think that was an underrated move for the Rangers. They were involved in some other bigger names. I think they were involved in Lindholm. I'm not 100% sure. But I know they wanted a center, and they got Wennberg, didn't have to give up a ton. I mean, a second round pick is pretty decent value, but you have to give up for a guy that's been pretty good for the Kraken. Eugene, what does this do for the Kraken, though? Does this signal that they're not pushing for the playoffs anymore because they're trading a guy like Wennberg out? Or they just kind of, you know, Rangers offered this, we get some assets, and hopefully what we have still pushes us forward.
Yeah, I don't think Wennberg's the measuring stick. I think Eberle would be the measuring
Right.
stick. So I think until they trade Eberle, I'm not going to say that they think they're out or in yet. I think Wennberg was a situation where they knew they weren't going to re-sign him. He knew that he was looking somewhere else, and they got a good offer. A second round pick, a fourth round pick, potentially a third, is really good value for a player who ultimately is a third line player. I see why New York did it, because sometimes bringing in a player who knows they're that middle six, third line player, and putting them there, they can thrive in that role, especially in New York. And for the Kraken, I said it's not quite yet. I don't think they're a playoff team. I think they know they're not a playoff team this year. I think that they will be active in the next 48 hours. But I'm not ready to say that yet until Eberle gets traded. I think he's their measuring stick right now, or someone similar of that level.
True. Yeah, Wennberg's not a massive part of their team. They're saying, well, they're done. I mean, Eberle's a bigger piece for sure. All right. This actually fits pretty good. Alex, I know we don't know the return. We don't know the whole trade yet because for some reason it's taking forever for all these details to come out. But Noah Hanifin has been traded to the Vegas Golden Knights. Don't know for what. But they also got Anthony Mantha yesterday as we record this. So Hanifin, again, the Vegas Golden Knights do a big deal at the deadline with no cap space, yet they're able to do it. LTIR. What do you think about Hanifin going to Vegas?
I mean, the rich just get richer, right? They have Pietrangelo and Shea Theodore on that back end, and Alec Martinez too. And now you add Noah Hanifin into that, and I'm assuming there's probably going to be an extension at some point. I think it's not coming immediately, but I thought Elliot Friedman or someone said that they were talking extensions. So if they sign him long term, even better. But just as a rental, I mean, you got to think they're one of the favorites in the Western Conference. They were already. But now that they get Mantha and they add Hanifin, and apparently they could still go for another forward if they have the money for it, I admire their aggressiveness of their front office. It would be nice if other NHL front offices acted like theirs, to be honest, especially if you're in a contending spot. But it's a great trade, and he's having a great season. I think with them, he could be like a second pair defenseman because they probably have Shea Theodore and Pietrangelo on that top pair. So this is really, I mean, we don't know the details yet, so it's like hard to say they won the trade, obviously, because you don't know what they're giving back. But I mean, he's a great add to their roster, and I think the top end and at least the top teams in the Western Conference is going to be an absolute dogfight in the playoffs. There's just a lot of talent now.
Yeah, the Pacific Division it's crazy now that the Oilers have reset themselves to be what they were supposed to be. And the Canucks, what their season has been, and then now the Golden Knights and the LA Kings. That yeah, there's the Pacific is finally getting back to what they were used to be, being such a tough division, and it's looking that way now. Once the Sharks and start figuring their stuff out with their prospects, they're going to be a good team too, and the Ducks as well. Yeah, this division's been pretty tough. All right, let's move to some rumors that have been kind of floating around. Jake Guentzel has not been traded as we record this. They may be traded by the time we release this as this morning, but in the morning. But the last update we have is Guentzel is still in the mix with a few teams. The Hurricanes, the Panthers, Rangers, Canucks, Golden Knights. But I mean, there's some moving parts, I'll say. There's a lot of stuff going around. The one big one that we've been hearing is Kevin Weeks just put this out about Guentzel going to the Canucks, Lindholm going to the Bruins, DeBrusk going to the Penguins. I'll ask all your thoughts on this one because what do you see with Guentzel? I mean, I'll start with you, Jacob. I mean, this whole drama with Guentzel, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Not to toot my own horn, but I did call that exact trade that Kevin Weeks kind of threw out there. I called that last night, and Matthew can attest to that. But I do think that any deal involving Guentzel to one of these teams is going to involve something like that. They're going to have to move a piece out, maybe not Elias Lindholm level, but it's going to be like a three-team deal where everybody kind of gets something that they want, or it's going to cost big in prospects and picks. Now I look at Carolina. Jake Guentzel would be a fantastic fit in Carolina, but they don't have the prospect that they want to give up or the high pick that they want to give up. Like, yes, they have their first round pick. They have Alexander Nikishin, who is probably one of the top three prospects outside the NHL. They do have Bradley Nadeau. I could see that being or him being in play. But any of these teams, they're not wanting to give up as much as Pittsburgh is asking for. And Pittsburgh, I don't even know if they're sure what they're asking for. They're looking for prospects instead of picks, but they want to get younger. I don't know. They've been throwing off mixed messages, but I do expect them to be moved for sure.
Alex, what about you?
Yeah, I think I agree with Jacob. I think Carolina is the best fit for him. And I think, you know, Carolina's got a ton of UFAs and RFAs this coming off season. This is like, they should definitely try to throw their chips in and go for it now, because you don't know who they're going to bring back. Could close. I'm not saying that their window would be closed after this off season, but, you know, I think this is the year to go for it, especially since the East is so wide open. So I would give up my first and, you know, one of your top prospects for Gensel, even though he's a rental, and that kind of goes against what they usually do. I would like to see him there. I think that's probably the best fit. I could see Vegas too, but Carolina with Gensel, I think, would really make them kind of put them over the hump after getting so close last season.
Mm-hmm. And Eugene, what do you think about this stuff? Gensel.
I agree. Carolina's the best fit situation. I think Vancouver's the funniest situation. So I hope Vancouver gets it.
It definitely would be. When I heard that Lindholm's now in play to be traded again, and I'm like, oh my, I've never seen that happen.
No.
Where so I hope a guy happens. Gets acquired and then he gets traded a few weeks later again. Such a big name too. I mean, I don't know. I feel like that's a bit of a, it's an interesting one being thrown out there. That's for sure.
It feels like a stretch until it happens. And then we all look back and go, wow, Vancouver got more return than Calgary did. So who knows?
Right. Yeah.
Kind of like Mike Hoffman.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens in the next few days. We may have more to talk about tomorrow night. We may have another episode of this coming out. But thanks, Eugene, Jacob, Alex, for coming on, talking the trades that happened today. We'll see what happens next. Lots of interesting names still on the board. You mentioned Gensel. There's a few other guys that could potentially move. Buchnevich is on that list. Lots of the bigger names have gone now, it seems. It's going to be interesting. We'll see what happens. Make sure to check out all of our coverage at thehockeywriters.com with all of our trade deadline. All three of these guys are hard at work getting these news pieces out as soon as possible once all the return and all the stuff gets released to us from all the teams. But check all of that. We have trade grades for all the major deals that come out as well. And I'm hoping to try to get reaction videos as we can get them out as well too. But stay tuned. We'll have more for you at Hockey Writers and the YouTube channel. But until next time, we'll see you on another episode of our reaction videos here on the Hockey Writers.